In the course of a day, thankfully not every day, I catch myself hearing or seeing someone in a judgmental way, or when I conveniently turn my head the other way when I witness someone diminishing another person directly or at a distance. It never feels good. And it is so darn hard to honestly look at myself in the mirror or have the courage to put a mirror in front of that other person or just find other company to keep. The power of Torah, all great literature, and firsthand accounts are stories that give us room to see ourselves in other people. This week's Torah portion offers perhaps the most creative, fantastic story in all of the Bible. Andrew, do I have you on the edge of your seat? So I was able to locate myself in the story. Perhaps you'll see yourself as well. So here's the story. The Moabite king Balak felt threatened by the Israelites, a people he had never encountered, but envisioned who they were, numerous, a horde who will lick clean all that is about us, like an ox licks up the grass. Balak knew of the non-Israelite prophet Balaam by his reputation to be able to bless or curse others at will. The king incentivized Balaam with the reward of a handsome purse to curse the Israelites. Before accepting the king's commission, Balaam sought God's advice. And God asked him, "Mi ha'anashim ha'ele imach? Who are these people to you?" And Balaam's response was lame. All he could say to God is that the king felt threatened and wanted to drive the Israelites away with a curse. Well, as the story progresses, God does allow Balaam to go and meet with the king. The story then enters a Salvador Dali painting. Balaam was riding his donkey when the donkey caught sight of an angel standing in the middle of the road, wielding a sword in his hand. The donkey swerved, avoiding the angel. Balaam, the seer, not seeing the angel, beat the donkey to get back on the road. The angel then repositioned himself. Once again, the donkey, seeing the threatening angel, pressed herself so close to the wall that Balaam's foot was squeezed against the wall. He beat the donkey again. Once more, the angel stationed himself on such a narrow spot, there was no room to swerve to the right or the left. That's your right and your left. The only thing the donkey could do was lay down under the burden of Balaam. And this prompted the now furious Balaam to beat his donkey a third time. God then opens the donkey's mouth, and she said, the donkey to Balaam, "What have I done that you have beaten me these three times?" Balaam, curiously, not surprised to hear his donkey speak, responds, "If I had a sword with me, I'd kill you." The donkey comes back at Balaam. "Look, I am the ass you have been riding all along until this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" And Balaam simply but honestly responds, "No." Of course, there is always a fair theological question to ask. If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, why put Balaam and the donkey through all of this heartache? Well, surely one answer is that a healthy faith life draws strength from God, but doesn't passively wait for God to do it for us. We look to God for the clarity to hear our inner voice and not to follow blindly. Can we see the angels in our midst helping us to see and overcome the obstacles that lay in the road before us? All of us, at one time or another, are our own worst enemy. When that happens, we are blinded to the signs in front of us. We dig a deeper hole for ourselves. The 17th century Hasidic master known as the Baal Shem Tov, the master of a good name, draws from another verse of Torah to help us see ourselves in Balaam. And the verse reads, "When you see the ass of your enemy lying under its burden and would refrain from raising it, you must nevertheless raise it with him." The Baal Shem Tov looked at the donkey as our inner voice, urging us to push away those other voices that lead us astray, that are a burden to us, to avoid the intoxicating golden calves in our lives. With the help of angels, we can find the strength to lift the burden and see it as a gift in our lives. It doesn't have to weigh us down. It can elevate us. How ironic that the seer, the prophet, was blinded. This also gives us mortal creatures the space to locate ourselves in the story. If a finely attuned prophet could be lured into the shadows, how easy for any of us to be blinded by what's directly in front of us, warning us to take another route. Rabbi Lawrence Kushner sees the progression of the story as a progression in our lives. Like Balaam and the donkey, sometimes we need to take a different route. Sometimes we need to be squeezed, and every now and then, we just need to be stopped dead in our tracks, collapsed under the weight we've been carrying. It's at this point in the Balaam story that God opens the prophet's eyes to finally see what's really happening, what the donkey saw all along. And oh my, look what happens when we can open our eyes and see. At first, like walking out of a dark cave into the sunlight, like dilated eyes, the sun itself can be blinding. Then, as our eyes adjust, we can see ourselves and the world more clearly, both what's painful to see and what's liberating, focusing, refocusing our eyes and our hearts. We can see ourselves in a loving, forgiving light. We can see the best in others. And that's the story of Balaam. From a high place, looking down at the Israelite community, there was no longer an amorphous, objectified people, rather other human beings creating a community in relationship with one another. And Balaam, with his eyes open, was touched by the way the Israelites respected one another's privacy and built a community on the foundation of caring and loving kindness. And in that moment, Balaam's heart was cracked wide open. And instead of words of curse flowing from Balaam's lips, the beautiful sigh of a baby. Balaam's words were transformed into words of blessing. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. On the foundation, on the words of the non-Israelite prophet Balaam, the rabbis would then build a scaffold using the Psalms for each of us in the first person to grow our spiritual lives, yes, for the sake of our souls, yet much, much more for the sake of seeing the goodness in others. Va'ani, Va'ani barov chastecha, I, through your abundant love. Adonai ahavti, Adonai, I love to dwell in your place. Va'ani eshtachave ve'echra'a, I humbly bow low before you. Va'ani tefila, tefilati lecha. I am my prayer to you. We can see ourselves in that loving, forgiving light, and then we can see the best in others. Matovu o'alecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha. Israel.